Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour, and today we're going to be talking with Charles Collins, and he's the Executive Director for the Southern Maine campus of the Husson University. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate it.
This is a great opportunity. Husson University in Westbrook, Maine?
It is. Now, just to start off, actually, Husson University has been offering courses in Southern Maine for over 30 years, but we've been in several locations, and when I talk about that, I often mention it as a sort of a Where's Waldo situation. We had been in St. John Street for a number of years. Then the most recent last 15 years, we were over in the Mall Plaza by Dick's Sports, and we were there for a while. But it was in planning starting about 3 years ago that the trustees of the university said, listen, we're serving the Southern Maine market. We really need to establish a campus down there. So that is where they decided to purchase land and building, and there we are. For the last 2 years, we've been down at 340 County Road in Westbrook, Maine. So we're thrilled. It's a great location.
No, it is a great location. And how many students currently does the university have?
We'll serve on a given year about 260 students in the fall and spring terms and about 150 in the summer. So some of those are duplicated. But our busiest terms right now are about 250 students.
Great. And what are average. What are the key courses or the key curricula that the university provides?
Sure. We offer both undergraduate and graduate degrees out of the Southern Maine campus here in Westbrook. So we're offering 8 different undergraduate degrees in accounting, business administration, criminal justice, paralegal, elementary education, to name some of the more popular ones that we have. We also do something in software development at the undergraduate level. For the graduate degrees, we offer an MBA program, and we also offer a master's in education program, as well as 3 different counseling type degrees, clinical mental health counseling graduate program. We do a master's in nursing graduate program and a master's in school counseling program as well.
And these courses can be taken both in-house at the university or online.
So that is correct.
What is the breakdown kind of that in terms of number of students in and out?
Yeah, it really is. When you look at most of our students are doing a combination of both. They're both online and they're both live. The third part that people don't know, and it's really live though, David, oftentimes the instructors may be in Bangor and we've pulled together a compressed video system. So students are in live classes in Westbrook, joining students in Bangor, maybe joining students in Presque Isle, and an instructor could be in any one of those locations. So we're always bringing our students together statewide.
No, I think it's great. It's a way of using technology today to keep it relevant, to keep it vibrant, and to keep people where they are.
Exactly.
But making it happen.
But still happen.
In terms of students that come through this university, is there an age demographic of the typical student?
Yeah, there is. Oftentimes, people really think we're serving a very traditional age student right after high school, sort of that 18 to 21. Our average age is 37. It doesn't say we don't have traditional students. We do have traditional students that graduate high school and come to us, but that's a pretty small percentage. What we have found our niche is working with working professionals who are working in the Portland, Southern Maine area. They know they've got to either complete a degree or get started on a degree. And because our courses are offered primarily starting at 4, 5, 6, 7 o'clock at night, even on some Saturdays, they find our course schedule works really well with a working schedule. So,
well, you know, it's interesting. There's been a lot of talk in the last few years about the value of a college degree.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of discussion having to do with the trades and a college degree. And a lot of universities and colleges are struggling, let's be honest, about what's going on out there there. So where do you see Husson fitting into that mix? What is the stance from the university in terms of a degree? And how is it relevant today, or is it not?
Well, we definitely think it is. And if you look at the history of Husson and our focus on professional career degrees for professional careers, whether it started, you know, a lot of times people think of the accounting degree or the, you know, the business programs. But really, Husson has expanded into, in the last years, obviously, education, even at the master's level. They do a master's in nursing, which is a big need. They do a regular bachelor's degree in nursing. And now we do occupational therapy, physical therapy, and pharmacy. So when you look at the history of what Husson's mission has been, it really has been putting programs out there that seem to be meeting a professional industry need. And we think it's worked pretty well. The campus has grown over the years, both in terms of the Bangor campus, as well as them able to establish a campus in Presque Isle, Maine, and operate in Aroostook County, as well as continuing to operate and grow here in southern Maine. With that. And I think the reason for that is we stick to what we know, which is what are the professional areas, where can we grow programs that meet professional emerging areas? And that's been the sort of the secret to Husson's growth success.
You do an internship with the university. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, we do. If you're a student coming to Husson University, there is an expectation that you will do an internship. It is a requirement as part of your program. It's plugged in. So students are doing that. What you're going to find at each of the campuses is a little bit different in how they approach it. In Bangor, pretty traditional age, they get to their end of their junior year and into their senior year, they're going to get put into a business and do an internship. Come to Westbrook, Maine, I just shared with you our average age. These are working professionals who, do they need an internship? Some might, and we work with them to do that. Well, many of them, we just substitute a course because that internship, they've already got that aspect to their life. So we're also very flexible in how we're looking at the internship with folks. But certainly it's a requirement. So you don't just not take the course. We substitute a new course for the internship if you're a working professional.
Now, I think that's really critical today because not only because of the age group you're serving, but the fact is that one of the things that I know that we've shared and talked about off mic is the fact that the universities sometimes don't always morph to what corporate America needs.
Right. Yeah.
And this really does have like a partnership, right?
It absolutely does.
More of a partnership feel between the university and business, which isn't always there in traditional universities.
No, and I think you're right. When you look at the history, it's almost two silos. The graduates seem to go off into business, but there isn't that backflow unless you get an alumni coming back. But when you do look at Husson's alumni associations and the people involved and the trustees that are involved, there are many successful business people who are trying to bring back what they've experienced in the business world and inform both deans and department chairs and faculty and have that dialogue ongoing on what's going out there. There's been some exciting changes and additions to Husson based on alumni's business experience and coming back and wanting to give back.
Is the university talking with businesses directly as to what their needs are and looking to morph their curriculum and their programs to what the emerging factors are?
Yes. And what's interesting, you really need to kind of take a broad brush with that because you could call in one company, a big company like Bangor Savings and say, what do you need? Well, what Bangor Savings needs may not be the same needs for, say, Peoples or some of the other branches. So you really have to make sure you're having a broad conversation with the leadership in the industry folks when you do talk to them. So you're developing a curriculum that reflects the needs of all those. But certainly through advisory groups, and certainly when you look at the College of Business, there's constantly workshops going on where business people come back and talk both in student classes and they open it up to community forums as well for the university wide.
Let's talk about the College of Business for a minute.
Yeah.
Tell me about the focus of that school directly.
Yeah. The focus really is preparing students to look at, if you look at the areas that come under, certainly accounting, degrees in towards accounting, also towards general business administration with several new concentrations. Students can focus in on hospitality, sport management. They can get into specifically into retail sales. They can sales, what they call sales management as well. They can also focus in on we have something that allows them to focus in on computer forensics in business. But the other programs involved in that particular college is criminal justice, which has an administrative component that's very close to business principles and business courses. And you find a really neat merging of both the criminal justice and the business programs coming together. And then when you look at some of the emerging fields and the skill sets that people need out of business, they're incorporating things like project management. I left a brochure with you earlier, mm-hmm. you know, that there's a project management courses. There are actually real estate courses built within electives for the business students. So yes, there's going to be a core set of business courses that you kind of need your freshman and sophomore year. But when you get into your junior and senior years, you can really start getting into some pretty specific detail level courses that really reflect the way business operates, truly operates in the field, and gives you very specific certifications and even licenses that send you out and on a path that puts you ahead.
Do you do a lot of partnerships with companies themselves to say, hey, look, we need our employees to get a degree because our requirements are they must have either an associate's or a bachelor's for them to get into leadership or to senior management? And how does that partnership work?
Sure. The way we've been more recently, we've out of the Bangor campuses more recently, they set up a partnership with Jackson Laboratories where, and of course, it's a location type of thing. Jackson Laboratories is pretty far down into the
Bar Harbor
area. Okay. We are able to deliver programs to them and tailor what they need in their business. We also had set up a relationship recently with Hollywood Casinos a couple years back, and that is specifically set up for the employees of Hollywood Casinos through Husson to work on courses and programs that lead to management, and they can then move from there. We're having dialogues with other types of companies around the state doing the same exact thing. And so it's having that capacity to, yes, we have the built-in curriculum, we have the expertise on the faculty staff. Now we're able to go where there are fairly good critical mass of folks to go in and say, we can deliver this on site for you, and we can tweak it to what your industry may need.
You know, one of the things I noticed under the programs under the College of Business, it says Canadian Public Community College.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's something that comes out of our Presque Isle campus, and Jennifer Flynn and her crew up there does a great job to allow them go over to the border through the University of Fredericton, where they actually can provide those community college students in that area access to Husson's to earn a bachelor degree. So they're already completing an associate degree through a Canadian community college, and through our partnership in the use of technology, we're able to offer that degree, quote unquote, over the border.
No, that's great.
Yeah, it really is. It's been a good program, and we're seeing increases in it with Canadian students taking advantage of it.
So you would say the value of the college credential is?
You know, on average, when you look at the data, when you tear away the data, and there was some recent stuff done by the U.S. Census Bureau and the Bureau of Labor Statistics that showed still today, given all the changes going on in higher ed, and yes, you can find pockets of things that say, I didn't get a college degree, and look at how successful I am. And there's even a person out there who says, don't go to college. I'll hire you and show that you don't need this. You see those examples. But by and large, for the average population, there is a tremendous value to an associate degree. The Bureau of Labor Statistics gave a figure of $300,000 premium when you earn a college degree beyond high school. And what's recently been noted, when you look at the payoff of that. Now, when I got my bachelor degree back in the 80s, the payoff was about 20 years before it paid off your college degree. Well, even with the cost of college going up as it has since the 80s, the payoff has dropped in half to 10 years. So even when you look at the actual data and tear into it, the value of a college degree is still a better value than it was even two decades ago.
Well, you know, I've always been a believer that it's very important to get some sort of education, okay? Yeah. And yes, not all people are able to or ready to be to go
absolutely
to a university.
Right.
Trades are a great way to do
absolutely
it.
Absolutely, they
it
are.
It works. That said, there is something about going to a university, a college, mm-hmm. or an entity and learning how to study.
Yeah.
Learning how to think independently, mm-hmm. learning how to do other things that aren't tangible.
Sure.
in the way that a degree is. You know, sure. It's not necessarily always about the books. It's about the camaraderie. It's about the, you know, the people you meet and learning how to deal with a roommate, right? And how to deal with, you know, a challenging professor.
Yes.
Well, that's no different than dealing with your boss or no different than dealing with your coworker.
That is
and
correct.
And dealing with, because you're going to live with that person at the workplace as much as you will live with the person you're going to marry.
That is absolutely correct, and that is still a value for that. Now, I've met young people that come out of high school that, quite frankly, their maturity is unbelievable, and they may say, you know, I don't think I need that experience. I've started a small business when I was in high school, and I just, you know, and I want to go the most direct and least expensive route to get a degree program, and you meet those. But by and large, most students coming right out of high school and considering a college experience, those factors that you just mentioned are really important, because you do have to show up for class and you got to show up on time and you got to do it pretty consistently. You know, most universities, including Husson, you know, have an attendance policy, and you'll get bumped if you miss too many classes. From that, just the way you would in work, right? You can't just show up
That's
for work.
Right.
So there are habits of mind and habits, behavior habits, that I think allow you to get out from underneath where you grew up, your parents' home, where you were hopefully shown that these are important values that you need to exhibit in a professional workplace, and now you've got a testing ground to do it. And you know what? And it's okay to screw up every now and then. You're going to. That's kind of what college allows you to do, because you really can't screw up too much once you're out into a business. They're only going to let you screw up so much.
No, that's right? You know, and sometimes I think that's a life lesson that individuals and even adults don't necessarily always know. And they're surprised when some of the things they've done earlier in their career, they can't do them at work. And they're really surprised by that.
Yeah. And there is still, to some extent, a protocol and expectation in the professional environment. I mean, what I see is the changing landscape of even, do you wear a tie now or don't you? And even folks, you know, that grew up in my generation, you see kind of a mixture, but it's definitely going away. Husson, it's really interesting. They still have sort of this belief, you know, you go up on campus, professors, and deans, and everyone's in a tie. We exhibit it down here. And our Westbrook campus, professional dress for both men and women is expected. But there's a casualness that's changing a little bit in the workplace from a dress point of view. But I think those values of showing up and being consistent, being a team player, bringing some creativity to your job is a big one that universities, when you really look at curriculums, are really bringing into their classes now, because companies have problems that prop up constantly. It isn't just simply coming in and just doing a job repeatedly the same way. You better be ready to move it and change it and be creative with it. And colleges and universities have to prepare students to think that way.
We're talking with Chuck Collins. We're talking with Charles Collins, Executive Director for the Southern Maine Campus at Husson University. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis, as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And today we're talking with Charles Collins, Executive Director for the Southern Maine Campus of Husson University. Charles, in the first segment, we talked a lot about the university itself, the value of college credentialing. Now I'd like to get into a little bit about adult and professional development, because I think it's very appropriate for the audience. You know, the HR professionals and owners out there listening to this show are saying to themselves potentially here, okay, I hear what they're saying. I hear there's some value in the university. I hear that they can get some soft skills. they can get some hard skills. Maybe there's some individuals in my organization that could benefit from this. Mm-hmm. Talk to us a little bit about the actual professional development the university provides and how an organization can connect with you on that.
Sure. A stat that's out there that you may have been hearing in the state of Maine, that's anywhere between 180 to 230,000 Maine working adults between the ages of 25 and 65 have some form of college, but not a full degree. And when you look at that number, that's a huge number for us. Now, does that mean everybody in Maine needs to have a college degree? It does not. But for those industries and businesses that look at sort of the completion of a credential as a standard for the type of work and the skill sets that they want, is the reason why colleges and universities make it possible for even a working adult or an adult to come back and earn a degree in that. And I think there's a couple of good reasons why, you know, companies are certainly looking at this. All companies want engaged employees. One way you can do that is have conversations with your employees about what it is they want to accomplish. Now, hopefully the goal is somewhere in the realm of what the company's goals are, and that's why you're working here. Most companies can figure that out pretty quickly when they see the work of an employee. But really, oftentimes those conversations don't happen enough, and employees just kind of go through their job, and maybe at half speed, maybe not giving the best they could give because they're feeling, well, where is this leading? What is my next step? What more can I learn? And so when you're talking about engaging employees, you really can do a simple thing, and it can start in a department meeting. It can start with a supervisor. An employee can start with an HR department, where you start having a conversation with about them. And I actually have this thing called 16 questions. Actually, the dean of our College of Business, Marie Hansen, and I presented at a conference at the HR conference this year. And this was an area we discussed in our presentation.
The Maine HR convention.
The
right?
Maine HR yes. convention. We were presenters
great,
this
great
year.
Show.
It really was, and we were really thrilled to be asked to be the part of the faculty of that this year, and it was well received. So, one of the things that we came up with to give to HR directors and supervisors is to ask a few questions. You know, and if I can,
yeah,
give
let's
you
go
some sample.
That'd be
so,
great. Let's do
so
it.
What do you need from me to help you in your development? Is a good opening question. It's just a nice opening question for them to get a dialogue going with them. What brings joy to your work? How many people
question.
Get asked, what brings joy to your work? In what areas of your job do you wish you had more support? And support could mean so many different things here. So you'll hear, you know, just keep it open. The idea is keep these open-ended to see what you hear back from your employee. Are there areas of your job you wish you could receive retraining in? They showed me once. I don't want to ask again, but boy.
I could really use a little extra help.
And I don't know how to ask for it. Do you feel we meet frequently enough to enable you to do your job effectively? What communication would help? It's an important one. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being extreme, how satisfied would you say you are at this job? You know, let's get this stuff out on the table and get people talking. Do you understand how your work contributes to our department's success, to our organization and the company's success? I think that's a powerful question.
That's a great question, yeah.
What's a recent management decision you didn't understand? Another good question. Who do you wish you knew in our organization to be more effective in your job? What skills do you feel you need to practice more? What skills do you need to learn to excel in your job? And what do you want to be remembered for in this job? It's a legacy question, but you know what it says to the employee? It says, wow, this person, and this isn't going to take oodles of time. This mm-hmm. is going to take a conversation, maybe 15 minutes. But what a powerful statement you're making to that employee that says, they care about what I'm thinking. And I don't think we do it enough. But if you're thinking about the cost, and you know this, David, more than anybody, recruiting a new staff member, a new professional for your business versus keeping the ones you have, it's a tremendous difference.
No, and it has really shifted from an employer market to an employee market, right?
Yes.
And so we're looking at how do we retain that great talent that we have. Yes. And this institutional knowledge that you lose when people leave.
Right.
You just do. Now, it's interesting. A lot of those questions, you're asking for some direct, honest feedback. Mm. So there does have to be an openness on the other side to take the open, honest feedback. Because one of the things we find, and I'm sure you do as well, is you have to be genuine in it and actually respond to it, or it loses its whole meaning.
That's absolutely correct. You have to, and this may be a starting point if that isn't existing now, use these questions to start that trust building, to establish that, or to realize, okay, I've asked these questions. I need to be open to get what I get. So it is definitely a two-way street to do that. But where we find what we are shared with the employers at the conference, and as we talk about this through Husson, where does this lead to helping adults, particularly professionals working in your business, to be engaged in your company and get them taking responsibility for their professional development, the employee taking responsibility. So it's a two-way street. You're engaging them. The company may have some resources to help you, whether it's a college course or not. That's not the big question here. It's getting this going. It may lead to realizing, hey, I never knew you had 70 credits towards a bachelor's degree. I never knew that about you. This is really interesting. What would it take for you to complete your bachelor? Or, I didn't realize you wanted that certification. We can help you with that. You know, I think, more powerful statement in investing in a person's skill set and their knowledge and ability than often a raise. I might get this, disagreement from people working on that.
Modern Survey did a recent survey, and they do it twice a year. They do a big survey. Yeah. And money continues to be in the 6 or 7 slot.
Yeah.
It's not. It's recognition. It's a value to an organization, value to themselves, a feeling of accomplishments. All those things far exceed money. Once you've passed the foundation of a base living, right? Because
if
we're talking about making being able to pay your bills.
Correct.
Once we've passed the foundational piece.
Correct.
Then it really isn't money that keeps people. Because people don't work for companies because of money. People don't work for companies because of the company. They work for the people they work with.
Exactly. And that's exactly it. And the employee's responsibility is to understand their role better. And asking some of the questions I just asked really puts some empowerment into the employee to say, I need to know these things. I need to think about these things for myself. So if and when I have a conversation with a supervisor or somebody in HR, I can respond. So this is really a great tool that HR people can use and supervisors can use to open up their eyes saying, yeah, I don't know this stuff about the people I supervise. But at the same time, if you're an employee and you're trying to engage your supervisor in a different way, these questions you need to sort of be ready to answer and to do.
So
that.
Once they've identified these core skills that they may need, and they've talked about this engagement, tell me a little bit about how they should then go about talking about, making it a value for them to finish their education.
Well, oftentimes companies come to the table with all kinds of benefits beyond what they pay you just in salary. Obviously, there could be insurance benefits and other things. Well, they often have professional development benefits for you or tuition reimbursement that they can offer you. I know several companies just around our campus have pretty generous tuition reimbursement. And I know in one particular company, because we hear from our students about this, when they do have their annual review and they didn't take advantage of those benefits, it's basically described to them as leaving money on the table. Because
it's
a benefit the company put out in a budget. It's budgeted for the year. And they really want their employees to take advantage of it. So as employees decide, well, they go year to year without taking advantage of that, really leaving that on money on the table. So those conversations people can have with their staff. And if there are benefits there, to be very clear with them how they access them, how they can request them. And colleges and universities will work with adults in many different ways. So even if there's an upfront cost to taking a course, ask your college or university. I know with us, we actually defer that for people who are getting reimbursed. So if, you know, because it can get expensive.
Sure.
You know, honestly, an $850 to $900 course for an undergrad or a $1,400 to $1,500 course for a graduate level, a lot of people just can't come up with that unless they're putting it on their credit card bill. To do that, and then they wait for the reimbursement. But ask your college and university, is there a payment plan system in place, or could you defer this for me until I get my reimbursement?
Is there are there other ways for, since we're talking about the money side of it for a minute, are there other ways for our students to get funding for their for their courses?
They can. I mean, adults can apply for financial aid through the federal financial aid program. You don't have to be a traditional age student to do that. You can apply for that. And again, oftentimes what, remember, financial aid through the federal government can come in the form of grants, which is money you don't have to pay back. And then in low, what they call low interest loans, which have different payments that you pay back that make it a little easier to borrow the money to do that. So they certainly can do that. And that happens both at Husson and on our community colleges and our university and the other colleges around. All adults can approach the financial aid office.
Yeah, I know. I certainly know there are some also some state funds in terms of out there and funding
there
for retraining and redevelopment. And different ways that you can get grant money to help you, if you, especially if you're in a profession that is not necessarily you don't have the skill sets to grow in that profession, computer skills, technical skills, you know, things you need for that.
That's correct. And the, and career centers here and our career centers throughout the state often have access to state funding that allow, especially people where if they're working in an industry that's clearly going away or it's decreased in the need, the demand and the need for workers, there is programs available for you to pivot into something else and receive funding to get retrained.
You know, I often, as you know from career management, we see a lot of people who come in and they have great skills, but they're not necessarily thriving in their position. And I often say to them, so what is it that's holding you back? And sometimes it's attitude, right? It's the or the fear.
Sure.
Fear of going out. Or, well, I have a family and I just don't have time.
Right.
Time is always the crust of all things. I just don't have time. Okay, so so the question is, because your university has courses at night, on the weekend, talk a little bit about how long do those take? You know, what's the really the commitment from a length of time period? Let's give some scope to that.
So if you look at a typical person coming in and taking a course at night, we'll run classes. Most of our classes start at 6 o'clock, so you make sure you can get out of work at 5, get something to eat, and get to the campus and start a class at 6. And they'll run Monday through Thursday nights where you're often just coming one night a week for one class. If you want to take two classes, you come two nights a week. Or maybe you take one night a week and then one on Saturday, or you take one online and you take one night a week. So you're just coming to campus one night a week. A typical class runs a semester, which is traditionally 15 weeks. So in this case, with the fall coming up, if you were thinking of fall, you'd start right after Labor Day and you'd be done before the holidays. And then there's a three-week break. And then what happens is you come back in January, about the third week in January, and you go up until about May. So that's another semester. And then the summer term. So we have three opportunities a year for you to come in. Again, the hours, Monday through Thursday evenings, maybe a Saturday morning class if you want one, or an online class. And as I said, most of the students coming in take some mixture of all of that. So the actual commitment or saying, oh, I'm going to have to go to campus two nights a week, or I'm going to have to, really isn't that at all. Other changes that are happening is we offer seven-week courses. If you really want to just, instead of trying to take two courses over a semester and really want to just focus on one and then the next 7 weeks focus on just another, you can achieve the same result after 15 weeks and have two courses done, but you break it down by a seven-week course and a seven-week course. That's another addition that we've added, just a different way to get a course.
Sure, a lot of options, a lot of different thought processes. And I guess the whole point today is to try to say, hey, you know, if this is something you need for your career, if an organization is looking at individuals that actually could really benefit from this, there are many ways to think about it. We're talking with Charles Collins, the executive director for the Southern Maine campus of Husson University. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
If you'd like to be a guest on the HR Power Hour or be a show sponsor, send David an email today at info@hrpowerhour.com.
And we're back, and we're talking with Charles Collins, Executive Director for the Southern Maine campus of the Husson University, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by cmacareer.com. Charles, we've been talking about some really interesting things in terms of universities providing a real partnership with colleges. And we just got done talking about how students that are coming in can think of different ways about paying for it, think about different ways of the amount of time they spend. But it's still a lot of time. Let's be honest. It's still a lot of time it takes for somebody to get an associate's, a bachelor's, or even an MBA or master's in terms of it. You're here today to talk about some tools that maybe can shorten this in some way. So let's go through that.
Sure. Thank you, Dave. One of the areas, and it's not, and it, I wouldn't call it a new innovation or a new area. It's been around for a while. For working adults and people who have a fair amount of experience, how do you capture a person's, an employee's or employer work experience in a way that's meaningful towards a college credential? And one of the areas you're hearing about now is called prior learning assessment. And this really is a broad umbrella term that describes different ways folks can come and get credit for things they've already done, certifications they've already completed, maybe even being able to, because of their knowledge base, test out. So I'll give you some examples of things, and some of these you will have heard of. Now, at the traditional age students, a lot of them you're hearing about advanced placement. So advanced placement courses are courses that you take in high school that allow you to take a final exam. And with a score, depends on the school you're going to, it's generally above a three or four score, you can get college credit for what that subject was that you completed an exam. So, and there are many students, but you can only access that through high school. So what do you do for an adult? Well, oftentimes, adults have access to what is called CLEP exams, college-level exams, that they can go into a college or university and say, I'd like to CLEP out of this. And what that is, it's a standard test that they can take no matter what school they go to, if the school accepts CLEP exams, and take the test, get the credit for that course, and move on. So not only are you, now there's a cost to these, but it isn't the same cost of taking the full course. So you're saving time and you're saving money for that. Some colleges around the country have actually developed incredible reputations for doing this over years. One of them in New York was called Regents College. Now, more recently, they've changed their name to Excelsior College. And folks in New York for years have been able to bring all kinds of experience, certifications. This is going back decades now that Regents and now Excelsior allow this. But it allows a working professional to say, listen, I know something.
And they do.
And what we're doing now in the workplace, because of that stat I gave you about how many adults in Maine have some college and not a complete degree, colleges and universities have really woken up to the fact we've got to give other pathways. We have to give some other tools to people. So one of them is prior learning assessment, includes those tests. But there's also something called the portfolio learning assessment, or you'll hear it as PLA. And portfolio learning allows a person to come into a college or university, take a course, and the course can be offered in different ways. Some are done online, some are done live at the campus, where you learn how to take what you have learned over your experience. When people hear that, they'll often come and say, oh, yeah, I've got 15 years experience working in XYZ. I said, that's great. We're not going to give you credit for your seat time in that job. We're going to give you credit for what you know because of all those years in that job.
Right.
Oh, well, what does that take? Okay, so what that takes is you being able to get what you know out of your head onto paper so that we can evaluate that you know what's being taught in this specific course. Now, people go, well, that sounds like a long process. It really isn't. You need to learn how to write a portfolio. So you take one – oftentimes colleges offer one course. It's a three-credit course. And one of your assignments out of that course is often your first portfolio for which you're going to get another three credits. So at Husson, as an example, we have a course. You start taking it online. It's a three-credit course. And your final assignment for that course is your first portfolio. So you're paying for one course, but it's like you're getting two courses done. Then going further, oftentimes colleges and universities have a small fee for you to do other portfolios, but you don't have to take a portfolio class anymore because you know how to write the portfolio. Now you're simply saying you're looking at the courses that are required for your degree and you're saying, oh, I'm going to write a portfolio for principles of accounting or principles of ethics and management, and you're going to do a portfolio for those. When you look at that, and you can knock off 15, 25, 30 credits towards a degree. That's significant savings, and it's significant time to do that. And
I can cut a degree in half.
It really can, if you think it through. So oftentimes, an example would be somebody comes to us already with, say, an associate's degree. They've got half of their bachelor degree. With significant work experience, they could get another 30 credits through this portfolio process, so that brings them up to 90. It's 120 credit bachelor degree, so they get another 30 credits left.
That's three quarters of a savings.
Exactly, and it's a tremendous saving. Now we also have folks who come with a lot of certification. So where Husson has gained its experience for the last decade or so doing this is we've been serving folks from both the military who come in, as well as law enforcement. A lot of law enforcement people went either from some sort of a background in the military or something right into law enforcement, didn't really necessarily need a degree. That's changing now. And certainly if you want to move up in rank and
sure,
do some other things,
no
you
question
need to have
is.
That.
You do.
So we've really have a lot of experience working with that particular industry sector and showing them how they already have the knowledge and experience through the training they received and the certifications. And it's a tremendous amount of savings for law enforcement people who come to Husson. And it's something we've been doing. So now we're just broadening it out to all the other fields that we do. But we come to it with really a decade of experience already doing it.
There are some free online tools that people can look at, right, in terms of the prior learning assessment process. Talk to me a little bit about a couple of those tools that they can use.
Yeah, they can. There is something called the American Council on Education's, or ACE. Think of just ACE, and it's called the College Credit Recommendation Service. Okay, what it is, it's an online tool you can go to that allows you to go in and say, oh, and they've got a listing of companies who have training, of organizations who have training, whether it's the American Bankers Association or it's other national associations that do training. I'll give an example, Dale Carnegie, right? Dale Carnegie does a lot of certificate training. They have a list of every Dale Carnegie course, or the American Bankers Association has a list of every course that they have. And this ACE organization says, okay, we've evaluated this. we're recommending to this to your college that they give you 2 credits, 3 credits, 4 credits for you completing these particular things. It takes the guesswork out of it. It takes colleges who belong to this credit recommendation are already going to accept those credits. And it's a tool that a lot of people don't know about. The military have new tools now as well that allow all that military training to be quickly converted over into skill set training and course training with that. So that's one good tool.
That's great. I hadn't even heard of that.
Yeah,
that's
a great step to start with. The second one, when we talked about this learning portfolio, is you can go on to what is called Learning Counts. It's just type in Learning Counts. It'll bring you up to a site.
That's LearningCounts.
That is correct. Learning, just Google it. Just Google Learning Counts and get in there. And go to something on the tab that says Credit Predictor. And what they allow you to do for free is just fill out a quick survey about what you've done, what your job is, all these things. And they'll send you a report that tells you you could get credit for this, 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 and this. Again, free tools for adults, specifically, you know, more helpful for adults to say, yeah, this is okay. Now they can start seeing, I see the light at the end of the tunnel. Boy, if I could get credit for X, Y, and Z, this degree isn't going to take me umpteen years.
Well, we've been talking with Charles Collins, Executive Director of the Southern Maine Campus of Hudson University, providing us some great information and free tools that you can learn and use. You are listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB and presented by CMAKorea.com. And today we're talking with Charles Collins, Executive Director for Southern Maine Campus of Hudson University. Charles, thank you for being on the show. This has been very informative. But I know you have some things that are coming up, some details on an event first called Learn from the Best, Challenges of Successes of the 3 G's. Produced by the Institute for Family-Owned Business. Tell us a little bit about that.
Thank you, David. The Institute for Family-Owned Business is a wonderful membership organization that brings together family-owned businesses around the state. Hudson University is proud to be connected with them, and we're hosting an educational forum coming up here in June.
June 17th, Wednesday, 7:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. at Hudson University.
It is, and it's a quick morning. If you can come down and join us, you're going to hear some incredible stories of family-owned businesses. And what they're talking about is the struggles and the successes they've had, and even moving. One topic is moving from a family owner to bringing in a non-family member to run a company and the dynamics that go on in that. They run forums all over the state, and we're proud here in Southern Maine to be offered. It's a great opportunity if folks in the area can stop
it. No, it really is, and Career Management is also a member of the Institute of Family-Owned Businesses. We know it's a great organization. Yeah. So, you know, absolutely. This coming Wednesday, June 17th, 7:30 a.m. to 10 a.m., Hudson University. Right on the campus, 340 County Road, Westbrook, Maine.
That's it.
All right, one of the other things I noticed in terms of the graduate programs, and we've been talking about professional programs and graduate programs, and this is for HR professionals out there. Yeah. There are a couple of degrees that I thought I'd mention. One, of course, is your traditional MBA.
Sure.
And you mentioned that there's going to be a new focus on that. So talk a little bit about that.
Yes, we have an MBA program where you're going to be able to concentrate in what we call organization and management. That essentially is going to allow you to add very specific courses for an HR profession. Training and development course, HR compensation and benefit course, all added into what I'd call a standard MBA course. It's exciting. It's a new concentration we're able to offer, and we think it's going to generate a lot of interest.
No, it's great. I mean, you also have the Master of Science in Human Relations, and of course, it's ideal for HR professionals. According to this, interested in enhancing business cultures through the application of psychological techniques and insights.
It is. That is so interesting program, David. It's the one program where you have six counseling courses you have to take, but your five remaining courses you choose. So it gives you that counseling background that is so important to working in HR with the principles of counseling techniques, but you also then can pick five additional courses that meet maybe your industry needs.
The other course that I think is really relevant when it comes to the HR profession, and even this one, especially with leaders and owners, is Project Management Leadership Program. Talk a little bit about that.
This is our first step into a non-credit professional development certificate for working professionals. We've run two courses now. We're very successful. They come from all industries. You know, traditionally, project managers came from computer industry. And construction, they're coming from healthcare, they're coming from banking, they're coming from nonprofit sector, because project management is becoming that critical tool you need in your tool belt moving forward.
So this is a certification.
It's a course that allows you to get certified in the project management professional, the PMP, or if you don't have the hours to justify the PMP certification, you can sit for the certified associate project management, which only requires you to complete this 35-hour course.
No, that's a really great thing. And I'll tell you, there are a lot of HR professionals that do project management all day long. That's
that is
what
correct.
They do. Yeah. Well, Charles, I want to thank you very much for being on the show today. Again, Charles Collins, Executive Director for Southern Maine Campus. Obviously, you can reach him at his email, Collins, C-O-L-L-I-N-S-C, at husson.edu. We're going to have that on the HRPowerHour.com site right after the show, where you can re-listen if you missed anything. If you want to hear those 16 great questions, you can actually email him, and I'm sure he'll send them to you.
Be more than happy to. Thank you, Dave, for having me.
No, thank you for being on the show. Last week on the HR Tip of the Week, we talked about COBRA, and this article was produced by TrendHR.com. COBRA stands for the Consolidated Omnibus Budget Reconciliation Act. We talked last week about when COBRA applies. Let's talk a little bit about when it doesn't apply. The protection has been a lifesaver for many individuals who face the sudden loss of health coverage. However, there are also exceptions for when COBRA is applicable. Here are some. 1. The individual is terminated for gross misconduct. 2. The health insurance plan is no longer in existence. 3. The organization is not covered by the act. 4. The employee or other beneficiary does not specifically elect to receive it. 5. The individual in question does not pay the premiums due. 6. The individual becomes eligible for another employer group health plan or for Medicare. Or 7. The covered spouse voluntarily elects to drop coverage. Those are some reasons why COBRA may not apply. And that's your HR Tip of the Week. Next week on the HR Power Hour, we're going to bring back a great guest, Mark Ventola. He's an employment attorney at the law firm of Sheehan, Finney, Bass & Green in Manchester, New Hampshire. We're going to be talking about the new Massachusetts mandatory sick leave law, the background on it, what employers need to know, what employees need to know, and how to enforce it. That's on the next HR Power Hour. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.